Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven-figure plus store owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. Today on the show, I'm joined by Jared Mitchell, who is the e-commerce director for Neil Patel. And if you've been around a while online, that name is definitely going to ring a bell. Probably one of the better known SEO content and just internet marketing names out there in the space. And so, yeah, he recently joined our private community. And I just thought it'd be fun to talk to him and learn about his journey, what it's like working with Neil Patel, what kind of things he has learned from him in terms of efficiency and just productivity, because man, that man is a beast in terms of pumping out content. We talk about the businesses he has going on. We talk about, he has actually a direct-to-consumer business and a retail business that both kind of feed off of each other in really interesting ways. We talk about why he does both, how they kind of feed off each other. We talk about live streaming. We talk about a bunch of different stuff. And so it's a pretty wide-ranging discussion and sharp guy, fun guy, and I think you'll enjoy it. A big, big thank you to the team at Klaviyo for making the show possible. Klaviyo, the best place to send and run your email marketing campaigns and transactional emails and follow-up series, because they just have a best-in-class segmentation and personalization engine on the market. It's unbelievable. It taps into your shopping cart, Shopify, or whatever you use, and pulls all of the data from every customer that has purchased from you or has opted in from you. And so you can send really targeted emails with logic flows. So if somebody's bought two items, if there's a package of, I don't know, maybe a line of products and they've bought two of them, but not the third, you can set up a flow where they get an email 2 weeks after they've, you know, have bought two of the three that say, hey, you're missing only one, here's a discount. Or if somebody's an unbelievably good customer, they've ordered, you know, a certain number of dollar products from you over the last 6 months, you can send out an automatic email to take just to thank them, give them a coupon maybe. It's really cool what you can do in terms of both driving sales and also creating better relationships with your customers and showing appreciation. So if you're not using them, check them out for free, klaviyo.com/ECF. That's klaviyo.com/ECF. All right, let's go ahead and get into my discussion with Jared. Jared, so I'd love to kick it off by learning, how did you end up as the director of e-commerce for Neil Patel? What's the backstory there? A lot of people, I think, probably know him. He's been around forever. He doesn't seem to age, apparently. He's been around for like 2 decades giving advice online and well-known figure, of course. But what's the story there?
Yeah, he doesn't age, does he? That's so funny. I don't know how I ended up. No, I do. It's kind of crazy, but I think it was like 10 or so years ago now. I don't know. He was speaking at an Optimizely conference, and I remember hearing him speak. I was like, that seems like a really cool guy. I think I'd get along with him. And, you know, so I just started following him. And
like down the street or online? Which one are we talking here? No. Called him back to his hotel room, you know, and knocked on the door a couple of times.
Yeah, no, I didn't do that. But what I did is follow him on the social media, if you will. Basically, I think I signed up on his email address. He put out a job advertisement. We were running two out of our four companies now. And so I had a little spare time. And I thought, hey, Elena, that's my wife. I said, you know, what if I apply for this? I don't really know, you know, what kind of skills I have, like how my skills are. And it'd be nice to bounce it off someone who's the master to figure out, you know, how good I am. So, you know, he's got like millions of people on his email list. And I guess he had like thousands of people applying for this job. And it was something to do with e-commerce. And I applied, and somehow, by the grace of God, he picked me. And that wasn't the end of the story, though, because like I could have easily gotten hired and then just like done the work and probably like never met him and not become his friend and all this stuff. So after I got hired on, I started inviting the people on staff out for burgers and beers, and they started saying yes. And they were all in Southern California, which was kind of weird. I didn't know where anyone was located. And so I went out with a couple of the guys on staff. Everyone who works there was super cool. And I said, hey, would it be weird if I just, you know, point blank, like, texted Neil and be like, hey, can I take you out for a burger? They're like, dude, do it. He's in LA, man. I bet you'd love to meet you. So I flat out texted Neil Patel for a burger and a beer, which he eats none of. And he said yes.
So sorry to interrupt you, but you were working for him. You were working for him at this time as his director of e-commerce, but you'd never met him?
No. Think bottom of the barrel. I started doing like these like painstaking 150-page audits for his e-commerce clients.
Ah, okay. So you came in on the ground level in his company and okay. Then that's when you, okay, that makes more sense.
You know, just schmoozed my way to the top, as they say, right? No, in all seriousness, it was kind of funny because I thought I'd bring him like a gift to, you know, be like, hey, thanks for meeting me and all this stuff. And we were at like the SLS Hotel in Beverly Hills or something. It was crazy. I'd never been in a hotel like that. And so I brought him this little skincare gizmo. It's a facial brush. They actually just went out of business. It's so weird. It's called Clarisonic. And I gave him the Clarisonic and he looked at me like I was absolutely freaking crazy. And I'm like, why are you looking at me all weird? He's all, dude, I just had this confiscated on my flight back from Mumbai. So I was like, all right, well, maybe we're meant to be friends, you know? So it's kind of a funny story.
That's crazy. And then, so you start there and then just over the years, just kind of worked your way up in the organization until you get to being director of e-commerce for all the stuff he does.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of how it went. He really liked my work ethic and my reports and the insight. And at the time he, you know, wasn't as focused on e-com and he needed someone on his staff who was. And I have a lot of really crazy ideas and, you know, I think I get along pretty well with people and clients. And then he started like throwing me on his digital products and having me help contribute to build those and putting me on videos and stuff, which is comedy in itself. so yeah, you know, long story short, that's kind of how it came to fruition.
That's cool. And what, you know, he seems like a very interesting guy in terms of just his, just how prolific he and I'm guessing the team is by extension in terms of, you know, putting out content and speaking and the blog and just so much stuff that comes from his name or at least used to. What have you learned about that guy from being productive and getting stuff done in terms of what have you noticed that he does well or is obsessive about that allows him to be able to produce at that level? Like in terms of the quantity and quality that he puts out or at least used to when I was following him more closely?
Yeah, totally. Hey, I got a question for you, dude. What do you think his nickname is? I'll give you a hint. The employees call him this. Like, what would you guess his nickname
is? Oh, this will be fun. What is his nickname? Hemingway? Because he writes so much?
That's awesome. No, I think he's going to love that, though. And he does write a lot. They call him the Emperor. How cool is that?
I almost went with Dictator, which Emperor is much, much nicer version of that.
So, I went to stay with him one night in his home in Las Vegas. And like, how many people do you know that would be like, yeah, come stay, you know, and I was like watching the Lakers and hanging out and stuff. Right. And, you know, I was obviously observing him in his, you know, natural habitat, you know what I mean? So here's what I came away with. So I feel like I can answer your question pretty well. I honestly believe he's kind of the really only like genius prodigy style guy I've really ever met. He's the real deal. He never sells fluff. He cuts to the chase. He's really good with numbers. He used to work all the time in like a zero distraction environment. He'd exercise every day. No uppers or downers, no coffee, no partying, high expectations for his team, quick to let someone go if they're slacking or not right. Not afraid to pay a lot for the best work. Super nice guy, never a jerk, and just a really great dude who I like hanging out with now. But I love him because he loves practical joking and like joking around. And so like he thought it'd be funny to have me on some of his videos one day. And so he called me the day before and said, hey, come on up and film with me tomorrow. And I don't like to say no to him because he's been so gracious to me, but I'd never been on a single freaking video in my whole life. And I had to go up there and do that and read from green screens in front of like 15 people, production crew in Hollywood. And I'm like, bro, and he's just back there laughing at me.
Well, can you give us all the links to those videos? We'll post them up in the show notes so people can, if you can check us out. It'd be great.
I was so bad. I was hoping that they never made it to production, but his team said they did, and I didn't have the heart to watch them. So I'm sure they're out there, but I don't have any of the links. So
don't worry, I'll track them down. We'll tell you how they look. So, well, very cool. And you've got, of course, working with Neil and a lot of his stuff, e-commerce and digital and everything, but you've also got your own businesses that you're running as well. Skincare by Elena and elenamitchell.com. Elena Mitchell is your wife. Can you give just a high-level overview of what those are and how long you've been running those?
Sure, man. So skincarebyelena.com is my workhorse. It's a retail website that sells over 300 brands of lotions and potions, as they say. I started that after grabbing a flyer from Costco on the side, how to build your website, about 15 years ago. That's kind of a funny story. About 4 or 5 years ago, we started Elena's brand, elenamitchell.com. That grew to 7 figures in its first year. It's pretty sweet. I'd never been on the brand side before, but I feel like that's a strength to be on both the retail wholesale side and the brand side, and then also the agency side with like Neil and Beefy Sites, right? And then Beefy Sites is we teach entrepreneurs that are either beginners or intermediates that want to hit 7 figures, you know, how to e-commerce basically. So there's like a self-service platform and then also some consulting options as well. So how did I do?
Good. That was a great wrap up. I want to dive in more to covering three brands in about, you know, 2 minutes. This is, you definitely are ahead of the pack on most people in terms of overviews of their businesses, myself included. So I want to dive in though on the two skincare. So Skincare by Elena, you're reselling other people's brands. You said 300 brands. ElenaMitchell.com is just your own, you and your wife's proprietary brand. Why, you know, in 2020, in the, you know, the era of direct to consumer is king, the era of reselling stuff is dying or dead. I'd love to hear your thoughts on those two. Like, why not just double down on ElenaMitchell.com, your own brand, where I'm guessing the margins are higher because you're making the stuff. Obviously, there's something beneficial about keeping the reselling, wholesaling model that you have to sell other people's brands. So how do you think about why are you still doing that when you obviously have the option to go all in on your own brand? What's the attractive part of the other business?
I appreciate you asking that. No one ever really does. And I feel like the answer is really interesting. But basically, one of the reasons we grew to 7 figures in the first year with ElenaMitchell.com is because of our traditional retail store. And we essentially leveraged that email list and the amount of traffic and everything that we're getting to start using our own retail store as a means to introduce people through sampling and upselling, cross-selling, downselling through pre-purchase order bumps, post-purchase one-click upsells, thank you page upsells, you know, cart page bumps, things like that at deep discounting to get them to try our brand and to obviously promote our brand. So, you know, for a while there, I was like super over it. Like, I'm so done with this whole retail model. Amazon's crunching away at it. But at the end of the day, I took a look at the businesses. SkincareByElena.com is still steadily growing. It's still a retail store that's steadily growing. And it's getting more and more profitable each year as we scale. So it'd be kind of dumb for me to like release that, I think, at this point, because it's just an acquisition point for my brand. So I can't really get away from it. The other way I look at it is, and something I've really been trying to sort of invent and think around lately is, there's not a lot of people who use digital products to push physical products. And it's my opinion that if you have a digital-only product, you should have a physical product presence, even if that just means, you know, you're selling baseball caps with your brand on it or something like that. You'd be surprised at how many people would actually purchase a physical product from a digital product. But Beefy Sites, Elena Mitchell, and Skincare by Elena are like a threefold cord. Essentially, Beefy Sites, a lot of my students are wholesale customers of ElenaMitchell.com, okay? And a lot of Skincare by Elena consumers are now ElenaMitchell.com consumers. And one thing I did recently that was crazy, Andrew, is I sent a list, our Skincare by Elena list, I sent them an email asking if there was anyone who'd be interested in joining as a member to my Beefy Sites, you know, courses. And I got a ton of new members. So what I'm realizing is this is kind of becoming a self-propelling machine, and I don't want to get rid of any of the pieces.
So you've got interplay here between your e-commerce consulting / coaching, the digital products, between these two skincare brands. You really used, again, Skincare by Elena is the one that where you resell other people's brands. You use that because I'm guessing early on it's easier to get more traction there. Maybe if the margins are going to be lower, almost certainly, but you've got a bunch of existing brands that search traffic exists for that you could target. Maybe you have to pay for, but you can get them coming in. And then you use that to be able to bootstrap and piggyback off to grow your own proprietary Elena Mitchell brand. So that's really interesting.
Heck yeah. I love the concept of sales channel diversification. And especially as it applies to like online and the e-com space. Like, you know, I love the business that has 10 to 15 different sources of revenue coming in, as opposed to most of the people I consult they like are like all on Amazon, or like, you know, they're all off of Amazon. They don't want to be on Amazon. And like, I have to like explain to them, you know, if maybe just maybe a pandemic or quarantine hits and Amazon decides not to ship your products, you might just not actually own your business or your customers.
Neil had made a comment, at least a written one, about your ability to build really amazing sales funnels. And I'd love to hear you talk about that a little bit. How do you think about that? And I'm sure you've got a unique way of doing it, especially for the beauty industry, but even maybe for people who are outside of that industry who could take some of your tactics. How do you think about creating a sales funnel in e-commerce? Can you walk us through how you do that and maybe some of the important, the critical parts to do that well?
Man, I can't believe he said that. What a stud muffin. What an honor. I feel like he's thinking of someone else.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me read the full quote. It says... It says here that you actually weren't, you are probably a B or a C level video talent, but when it comes to sales funnels, no one can compare to you. I cut that first part out, but I felt, I mean, instead of transparency, I should probably put the whole thing in there.
Oh, I forgot to tell you the best part of that story is, and don't worry, I'm not even going on some tangent, but I am literally 3 times Neil's size. And so usually when we're hanging out, and that's where the beefy thing comes from. Like, people call me Beefcake since I was in college. Anyways, when we're hanging out, I'll usually tell people that I'm his bodyguard because he'll get like recognized on the street and stuff. It's pretty funny.
That's great. So do you actually play that up? Like you'll actually roll with it for a while?
Yeah, he just gets embarrassed. He's like such a normal guy. You wouldn't even believe it. But yeah, he, and I always have to like try to convince him that he's famous and he's like, whatever, dude. So sales funnels, like I love to create things. I like to think about things like, you know, maybe like a fourth grader would think about them and like not overcomplicate it. Like think about things differently. Like if the typical e-commerce mind would be more like Coca-Cola, think of me more like Cactus Cooler. Like I remember when I got my first patent, how amazing that was to consider the fact that I'd possibly created something that no one in the world had even thought of about before. For me, it was like, I just like won the Olympics or something. So to me, that's what really gets me inspired and like my blood pumping. So I love to get deep into the psychological aspect of it. And when I start, you know, I define my target customer persona and I usually like go super in detail, like down to their dog's name and favorite type of Slurpee and spend like a week just laying this out. And I make it into this like infographic that I hang up around my work. I'm looking at 2 of them right now. And I start there and I love sort of putting together like a rough draft funnel myself. And then I usually will like go to like Starbucks or something. This is like pre-COVID, you know? And I like walk around like a weird, creepy dude and find my target persona. And I'd offer them coffee and a free product if they'd use my credit card to check out from my store using, you know, the funnel I created.
You just show up at Walmart and do this, you said?
You know, Walmart would be brutal. That, wow. Oh, man.
Sorry, I obviously misheard that grocery there. Where do you find these people?
Did I say Walmart? That would be awesome if I actually said Walmart. I mean, that'd be like probably a terrible decision for my funnel in most cases. Yeah, but I said Starbucks.
Starbucks. I'm sorry. It's been the end of a day of podcasting here. I'm sure that was on me. Okay, so Starbucks. So you show up, you don't scare the people off, and you actually get them, you sit them down in front of a laptop, buy them a drink, and you watch them walk through in real life, over their shoulder, watching them buy your product.
Yeah, because, you know, we can set up all these like exit surveys, heat mapping, we can set up all this stuff to like figure out what's going on. But at the end of the day, like what we don't do is we actually don't actually sit there and hear what they say and see what their fingers, like you can do the heat mapping that shows you screen recordings, but that's like that we're missing like the full picture, you know? So I like to sort of start from the beginning and I discover the funniest things. Like there's this product line that we sell in skincarebylania.com called Image Skincare, but on their label, they have a little I at the top and underneath it says Image Skincare. And by doing this, I found out that people were searching for this product line and calling this product line iImage Skincare. And no one else was like advertising or like going after the organic for those terms. And so like you'll discover these things that you're like, I cannot believe that just happened. And that makes complete sense, but I never would have thought of it. And my software never would have told me it. So I love doing stuff like that and sort of trying to like think outside the box, you know?
Very cool. When you think about a sales funnel, because you were talking about a lot of like conversion rate optimization there, and it makes absolute, we're kind of in the process of doing that, getting some real people, you know, warm bodies and seats over the shoulders, makes a lot of sense. When you think about a funnel for a lot of your sales, high level, are you going out and doing a lot of prospecting on Facebook, on Instagram, places like this, and then kind of work them into some kind of informational opt-in, and then from there you nurture a lead? Or like, how do you think about, how are you doing most of your new customer acquisition? Is it at a high level? How are you doing that?
Well, shoot, we take kind of a broader approach. I feel like most people will pound away on Facebook, Instagram, or something like that. And I don't know, maybe I'm doing it wrong, but we invest a lot in, like I said, sales channel diversification. So essentially, if we're launching a new product or page or funnel or something like that, we will leverage everything we got, man. Well, sure, we'll go after paid, you know, Google, Facebook, Instagram, yeah, Pinterest, gosh, what else have we been doing? TikTok, all that stuff. But also, you know, we push our email list towards it. Our push list is pretty big now. Our messenger, Facebook Messenger, you know, ManyChat list is pretty big. I don't do a lot of texting. For whatever reason, our target persona is not into it. But of course, we'll push organic. And gosh, I'm probably forgetting some, but you know, we really kind of will push multiple sources towards the page. And anytime I do build out a funnel, I do try to like optimize it for SEO, because we'll eventually get more organic traffic. And what I'll actually do is I'll see which source converts higher. And so that'll give me a little quicker start at things, you know, I think, than rather just banging away at one channel.
Yeah. One thing you mentioned, or you've mentioned in the community, is you've gotten a new approach to live video and sales with influencer commenting. Can you talk about that? What are you doing with live video that's working for you right now?
Yeah. This is kind of, it's kind of newer. It's kind of a weird one, but you know, video's the future, right? Okay. So I was like super surprised that so many people hadn't heard of things like Amazon Live, Target Plus, like, you know, YouTube Live, some of these platforms that were offering live. There's like a ton more that you probably don't even know exist, or that they even have a section that's available, right? So we started doing live videos pretty early because we heard, you know, social and everything was giving them priority and be better coverage and things like that. So I was the guy when it started that had like five different iPhones with like three different ring lights all fired up at the same time, because I didn't want to make my poor wife do the video, you know, three times in a row. So, you know, quickly we learned how to use things like Restream.io to multicast to like 10 to 15 different platforms at once. And then I figured out how to do selling through comments using Comments Sold, things like that. There's competitors now through commenting. So we started doing that and having some really good success.
So sorry, can I interrupt you there? So Comments Sold, that's a Facebook app where if you're doing a live stream with people, people can actually buy by commenting on Facebook. Is that correct?
Yeah. Pretty cool. It actually works too.
So you'll start a Facebook Live showcasing. Will you, you know, showcasing the products, the skin creams, like some of the, you know, the routines people go through, and then people will just, how does that, for people who aren't familiar with that, people will comment and they'll just say buy or buy whatever. And then does it kick them into a different flow? Does it charge their, how does that actually work on the, you know, for somebody buying to getting it into your system and processing the payment and all that kind of stuff?
Now, back when I used to do it, it was a while ago, kind of how I do these things is I'll kind of test them and set them up, and then I'll pass them on to my marketing team. They're like, okay, here's what I did, make it better. So I actually haven't touched it in a little while, but when I was doing it, we were popping them into a different page and funnel and things, and they'd pull them out, and it was a really seamless process. It just made things really, really easy.
Where did you get, so obviously Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, those are the big obvious three. Are there any other platforms you've used that live streaming video has worked particularly well, that especially if you wouldn't have guessed it?
I thought Amazon Live worked better than I thought it would.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Cause everyone's like, oh, it doesn't work. Yeah. I think what helped is they picked Elena early on to be one of their like, you know, beta testers or early influencers. So I'm not positive, but they might be giving us a little more love than the rest.
And for people who aren't familiar with Amazon Live, live streaming the same, but does it stream right to your product page, or how do you, what's the, because Amazon, is it tied into Prime Video? How exactly does that work? And do they market it to, or people access it on the platform?
Yeah. So it should still be amazon.com/live, something like that. And you can check it out. But yeah, it's cool. It on, you know, the little Amazon Prime Video app on your TV or wherever you're looking at it, you will be there. So they have like an Amazon shopping channel, and they're kind of positioning it like HSN, you know, and, but they haven't really figured it out yet. That's what I'd say, you know? So you can get it. It's kind of cool because you can like, you can be on TV. I mean, most people have this like Amazon Prime Video, you know, so it appears there. It appears on their amazon.com/live page. And then, yeah, I think it also appears, or at least it used to, they've been doing a lot of testing, but I think it also appears on your store page and sometimes even your PDPs. But there were some weeks we were doing it where they'd say, you know, hey, check it out this week. We're testing, putting it on this part of the website, part of the page. But man, when we first started just organically without any sort of monetarily pushing the videos, we were getting something like 20 to 30,000 full-length views on each video we put out.
Wow, that's amazing. And so you've got all these live videos going out. A lot of them you're kind of doing some merchandising or some sales where people can opt in, especially with like Facebook. And you mentioned the influencer commenting aspect. How does that tie in? Were you bringing influencers in to stop by and be guests on the videos? Were you having them like in the comments somehow? Or did I misinterpret that? Kind of like the Walmart, Starbucks snafu I made earlier.
So this is something kind of brand new. And I've done a lot of influencer marketing in the past. And I thought, okay, well, how to expand our audience? And well, what if we just invite them on to be live with my wife, you know, and get access to a broader audience? So, you know, there's a few ways you can do it. We've tried that way. We've also, you know, it depends on like where you're going live as well. So there's ways you can actually simulcast to both accounts live at the same time. And that's sort of the ideal scenario to sort of double your audience that way. And the influencer loves it. You know, they usually charge an arm and a leg and this and that, but they love it because they have exposure to your audience as well. So usually what I found is you don't have to pay them as much and they're really stoked.
And how do you, when you do that, are you actually trying to get together with him in person? Are you doing like a split screen? How do you usually set that up?
Yes, to both. We're testing both right now.
Well, Jared, going to wrap you up here in just a minute. Can you talk, I mean, you alluded to it earlier, beefysites.com. I love the name. What is it that you offer there that someone who's listening right now, you know, has an existing e-commerce business, a lot of like, you know, six and low into mid seven figure listeners, as well as some people that are aspiring in the e-commerce space. What do you offer at beefysites.com that they could learn from or use to grow?
Let's see. So basically we have two levels right now. We started this recently by the way, like just during COVID, because we have so many people over the years have asked us for help. Many of our friends and stuff are like losing their businesses. So we have an entry level, $97 a month, cancel anytime, self-serve deal where you can just go through and watch the videos. And we built them from a sense of if we could start over 15 years ago, what would we do? You know, knowing what we know now. So it's pretty cool. And there's also a course in there that has to do with PR for online, which is something that I'm really passionate about. And then something for Google My Business for those local business owners that, you know, because it's like 50% of GMBs are unclaimed, you know? So for clients that are a little bit more established, like I try to push people that are doing over 5 G's a month on their store to our higher package, which is $9.97 a month, basically. And, you know, that's like more one-on-one consulting and additional videos.
Yeah, great. Well, we'll link up to that if that sounds interesting and make sure to check it out. Jared, fun coming on, bantering with you, having a good time, getting to know you a little bit better and learning some of the stuff that you've been working on. So it's been great having you in the community. Again, check out beefysites.com, skincare by Elena. That's skincare by Elena. It's spelled Alana.com or elenamitchell.com. Mitchell is MITCHELL.com. To check out the goods there. And of course, beefysites.com for learning more about training and coaching and growing that e-commerce business. So Jared, this has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate it and looking forward to seeing what you do the next couple of years here.
Man, thanks so much for having me. I haven't done many podcasts, so I hope I nailed it for you.
No, you got it. Enjoyed it and delivered some goods along the way. So well done and thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Andrew.
That's going to do it for this week. Again, a big thank you to the team at Klaviyo for making the show possible. The best place to send highly segmented messages via email and SMS to your customers to make more money. You can learn more about them and get started at klaviyo.com/ECF. And also brought to you by the eCommerce Fuel Private Community, a vetted forum and review directory of 1,000+ in the trenches experienced store owners that you can connect with to help grow your business. If you want to learn more about that and apply for membership, you can do that at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard and adventure often, and looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
The ASY Radio Network, live from New York.